Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
Make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Be sure to check out But You're Wrong Facebook page, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Please give us a like on there and follow us on Twitter at BYW Podcast.
And on YouTube at youtube.com/BYW Podcast. If you like Keith, make sure you check him out on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace. We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
You can leave like a message for me, and I'll hear it later while I'm pissing. No, I won't hear it later while I'm pissing, but like I'll hear it.
You'll hear my message
later.
Later, because you're pissing right now.
Yes.
So, Keith. I tell you, you know, we came out, drove out here, left 5 a.m. this morning, come to your wedding rehearsal, because I'm blessed enough to be in your wedding. I said blessed, I'm really not religious, so I don't even know why I use the term blessed, but we did. And I gotta tell you, I feel like I'm out in the middle of fucking nowhere. You know? I mean, it's not bad. You know, I like Pennsylvania. But it's like, you got one big city on either end of the state. And then, all of a sudden, it's just, you go through the middle, and there's nothing there. You know, how do you work like that? How do you have a state that big, like Pennsylvania? See, I'm used to little states. I'm used to states like Massachusetts and Rhode Island and little pissant states. And you got this big-ass fucking state, and you got one city on one end, and you got one city on the other end, and then in the middle, I swear there's fucking nothing. There is nothing in between. Now,
okay.
You know, I'll say this.
Is your secret message all about Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in the middle. No, in the middle, in the exact middle of the state is State College.
Well, yes. We went by it. I saw Beaver Stadium today.
All right.
Which was the second time I had ever seen it. And it is impressive because it is the largest stadium in the United States. And one of the largest in the world.
Is it the largest stadium including professional ones? Because I feel
yes.
like there was something there. I feel like there was another yep. one that just surpassed it a little bit, like a professional one, or is it?
No. As far as professional stadiums, professional, let's say football, I mean, because football stadiums are the biggest stadiums
yeah,
in the United
I thought
States.
That one surpassed it.
No. The closest, the largest professional football stadium in America is FedEx Field, which is for the Washington Redskins.
Okay.
And I believe after that it's Cowboy Stadium and then Lambeau. And yeah, so it's impressive. It's the largest football stadium. It's the largest stadium in the United States. And I think it's like second or third in the world by capacity. It's fucking huge.
It's a huge stadium.
It's like 110,000
people.
What
I would love to do sometime is every year, me and my college buddies, we pick a weekend and go to a game there.
Yeah.
I want you to come out for one of those games.
I would love to. And you know,
you already know one of the guys.
Yep.
No Rom.
Yep. No Rom.
I want you to come out just to experience, and we'll get tickets. I want you to experience one of those games.
I
experienced the tailgating, experienced one of those games. It's insane. It's, look, we're not always the best team. We're not always the team that follows all the rules.
We don't even need to get into
and
that.
We don't always stay out of trouble, but like, all that shit aside, there is nothing like going tailgating at a Penn State football game and going to a Penn State football game.
You know, and the thing is that being from Boston, right, we are not into college sports very much. And actually,
no, because you have nothing in terms of college sports.
Well, but, not even that. It's just the you know what our biggest college sport is hockey. Hockey is
huge.
College hockey is so big in Boston.
But compared to the professional sports, it dulls.
Boston is all about the professional sports. And that's the thing. And as I was brought up to always think of kind of college sports as being lesser. And not, I don't say lesser as in a bad way, but lesser as in the talent's lesser. And that might even be true.
See,
but that doesn't necessarily mean that the experience is less.
That's interesting. Now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like I was always brought up that I always knew the name of the professional logo, like the local professional teams better, but I always had more respect for the college teams.
Yeah. Because they probably, because they weren't getting paid.
Well, yeah, that, and I realized actually, like, even though it was, I don't know what it would have been back then when my dad played, but my dad played for his college team at the time.
Nice.
Basketball.
Basketball.
Yeah, my dad played basketball. So I wonder if because of that, because my dad was always in, has always been into like March Madness and stuff and has watched it and stuff. I think that's probably where I kind of get a more respect for college sports from.
You know, as far as the college sports go and as far as my liking for them, actually basketball would be my number one college sport. And I'm sure I've mentioned it on the show before. And I'm sure I know, like, literally there are three things that people hate me for. People hate me. Yeah. That makes sense.
No.
There are three. There are three things people hate me for. And that's number one, I would say maybe my political views. Number two is the fact that I am a Packers fan, especially up in Boston, because they hate
me. Oh, yeah. If you were in Green Bay, everybody would love you.
But where I live, Number three is the fact that I am a Duke Blue Devils fan. I love Duke.
Yeah.
And I love the college basketball game. And I love the effort and I don't know. So that aspect of the college game, I love. But it's never really translated for me to football because I mean, Massachusetts. I mean, no one gives a shit about college football.
Now, if you had gone to a school that cared more about college football, you think you would be into it?
I would say so.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, you know, you could say the same thing had I grown up in, you know, Texas or Alabama or something like that. You know, I mean, they're crazy about their college football.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's king. That's bigger than the pros.
Well, because they're it started there and actually even out here, really, it kind of starts with high school football.
Right.
High school football is a really big thing. It was never a big thing for me. I have no idea if we had a high school football team. I'm pretty sure we did. And I'm pretty sure we sucked.
Yeah.
Is the long and the short of it. But I think it translated into more of a respect for college because they're not doing it for the paycheck, really. They're doing it for a pride thing, really.
They're doing it for pride, and part of it is doing it to prolong their own career. I mean,
yeah, and they're doing it to get into the pros.
But that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing.
No, that's a golden point. That's a perfect point for an athlete. But when they get to that point, the LeBron James point, if you want to call it that,
right,
where they are so cocky at their skills set, you could also call it the A-Rod point, where they're so cocky at their skills that they just assume that they should be paid an exorbitant amount of money for what they're doing. That's when you're like, well, I mean, you know,
No, because the thing is that regardless of whether or not you want to sit here and say, player X on Penn State or whatever, you know, he's a linebacker. You know, I know Penn State breeds a lot of linebackers going into the pros.
In some circles, it's known as linebacker
U. Linebacker U, yes, yeah. I've heard that. And so you got a linebacker in Penn State, and he's, you know, he's doing it for the love of the game, but he's also doing it because he wants to reach that next level. The thing is that at that point where he's at, it is so identifiable to all of us. He's not at that level. He wants to become the guy that goes to the pros and gets paid. He wants to be the guy, he wants to be the man, basically. And he wants to be paid the pro salary, but he's not. And he works his ass off to get to that point. And see, the thing is that's still identifiable with all of us. Because we all want to do that in our respective fields or professions or whatever.
Yes, we want to work to that work our asses off to get to that point where we can make a shitload of money for our skills. Exactly.
And those guys aren't there yet.
Yeah.
But they want to be.
And they're working for it, and they're showing off their skills, and they're playing hard. And they're playing hard for their pride, for personal pride, for the pride of their school.
Right.
But also to achieve for more. And we all go with that. But then they reach the pros, and then they get to that point where you're just like, fuck that guy, he's a dick.
Right, and there's very few people in the pro field that play with the I want to succeed, I want to win a championship, I want to succeed for my team. There's not many guys like that. I mean,
it's mostly I want to make money.
Right.
I want to make the most money possible. There are a few exceptions.
I mean, like, listen, I'm a Packers fan, but living in New England, obviously, I know all about the Patriots. Tom Brady is that guy who goes out of his way to take a pay cut so that his team can sign other guys and get better because he wants to win. And I'm not going to sit here and make this a fucking...
for the betterment of the team.
Right. Now, I'm not going to make this a Tom Brady fucking love fest or anything, but I'm just saying he is one of those guys that I look at and I say he still has the spirit of someone that I can identify with because he wants to win and he wants to succeed more. He has more money than he needs.
Now, the thing is, I'm going to be honest, taking it from an outside perspective, Tom Brady is a good example for people in that area, but outside of it, I don't think they get the full story.
Maybe not.
So I would say that he's not as identifiable outside. Now, another example, though, which, again, isn't identifiable outside. I feel like once you hit the pros, you're not identifiable outside of a certain radius of where you're located.
Okay.
But of anybody listening in Boston is going to be really pissed off right now. But of, like, Jeter.
Derek Jeter, okay.
Been a Yankee the whole time.
That's true. Now.
And now he wants, he's at the point where he's done. And he wants to make sure he wants to be done as a Yankee. Because he has that loyalty to the team and to the organization.
That's true.
Was Rivera also a Yankee the entire time?
Yes, Rivera never played for another team.
I wasn't sure if he had started off playing for another team and then moved to the Yankees for like a year or two, but okay, yeah, that's what I thought. That's another great example. I would say Rivera more so than Jeter. Jeter always just seemed like a cocky asshole, but
you know,
the thing is, he hit that point where he was one of the ones where they were just like, Yankees are paying $1 billion for their team, and 25% of it is Derek Jeter.
He got paid. Yeah, I mean, listen, that's the thing. It's hard to justify. What you're saying is not wrong because he has stayed loyal to that team.
Yes,
he could have left.
But my point is.
But they paid him a shitload of money.
Oh, yeah, is it? But my point is, now that he's getting older. And he's not as good as he was before.
No, he's obviously not what he was
before. He has his loyalty to the team that he's built up, and he's been with the organization for so long that he wants to stay with them, and he wants to finish as a Yankee. And you got to respect that, because he has this loyalty the same way that during that time, college sports teams they have the loyalty to that organization.
No, that's true.
And I give a shitload of respect to the Penn State football guys that stayed with the team despite all the problems and everything. A bunch of people left, but a bunch of them stayed, and they had a fucking great season that year.
I agree.
I give them a ton of respect for staying with the organization and staying true to that.
Is it true? I'm not sure if this is true. I know obviously they made commitments to a bunch of players. They came in. Did they basically give them the ability to say, like, basically you can go out elsewhere?
Yeah. So one of the things in the deal was that even existing players that had been on the team that were like, I think, like juniors or whatever, they could move to another school and there was no penalty or whatever for them within the NCAA football rules.
Yeah. No.
Because I think the way it is if you move to a different school, you can't play for you might not be able to play for a season or so long. Like, you can't play for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Okay. And they could move without penalty. And this was decided after the sanctions that were put on
Penn because State. Of the circumstances.
Yeah.
No,
but a lot of them came out and stayed with it, and you gotta give them a lot of respect for
that. No, and I absolutely do, because you know they went in and then the fact of the matter is that they knew that there was no way, because they got their bowl eligibility taken away.
Yeah.
They knew that there was no way that they were ever going to win a national championship. Never mind even a big bowl. They were never going to go to the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, or any of that shit.
I like how you say big bowl, and then the ones that you mentioned does not include the Rose Bowl. You were just like, they'll go to a big bowl, you know, like the Tostitos Bowl or the Alabama Bowl.
I know, come on. I said the Sugar Bowl and the Cotton Bowl. That's one of like the five original
bowls. You know, like
bowls.
Like the Bob Evans Bowl.
The Bob the GalleryFurniture.com Bowl. Yeah, no, but I mean
the BigDaddy.com Bowl, the Pornhub.com Bowl,
this should be
the AdamEve.com Bowl.
Oh yeah, with
the and the ball is just like a giant dildo. I saw that Greg was about to make a counterpoint, and he was like, "You know what? Is a good idea. That I would watch that. Watch a lot of that."
I do have a lot of respect for those guys. I admittedly don't pay a ton of attention to college football. When I do, there's a couple teams that I root for, and Penn State is one of them, because I've known a couple people that have gone to Penn State, and I do respect
them. Rachel.
at least one or two other people, but. Yes, that's, you know, one of the programs that I respect, even despite, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But
anyway, going back to the original point, though, is that you need to come to a game.
I need to go to a game. I would like to go to a game. I think it'd be fucking awesome.
And you should go. What we'll do, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll, maybe not this year. Maybe we'll try it next year. We'll see, I mean, we'll try and find time to make it work, though. If you can fly into, if we're still in Pennsylvania in this area, you can probably fly into the Arnold Palmer.
Oh, the Arnold Palmer, yeah.
Drive out with us, it's like 2 hours. All right, what we do is we...
Everything in the state takes like fucking hours to get around to. It's mind-blowing.
Anyway, it's like 2 hours.
As opposed to a home, it's where, like, it takes 2 hours to get there, but it's actually you move like fucking 3 miles because you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, in this case, you move like half the fucking state.
I know. And
in 2 hours.
Like, whoa. It's so easy to get around in fucking Massachusetts.
Anyway. What we do is we rent a house. We got a bunch of people together. Some people sleep on like couches and air mattresses and shit, but... We get a house.
Now, do you get a bed?
Last time I got a couch because it was just me. Rachel couldn't make it.
So now, what if it was me, you, and Rachel? Is it where you get like a big bed?
Here's the thing.
Okay.
We may have to tell people that it's you're sleeping on the floor, but yeah, you can. I'll be in the middle.
Because I'm Big Spoon.
You're Biggest Spoon?
I'm Biggest Spoon. You're Next Spoon. Rachel can be Little Spoon.
Okay.
I'm not asking to be next to Rachel.
Okay. No, that's fine. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be all right. But
motherfucker.
I'm the big spoon. I'm like the serving spoon.
Okay.
You're
like the serving spoon that they put at the bottom of the thing because they're like, this is a huge spoon. I don't have any place
for it.
That I got from my kid.
You are the, what's the other spoon? The next spoon.
The tablespoon?
The tablespoon.
And Rachel is the teaspoon.
She's the teaspoon.
Okay. No,
I mean, can we?
No, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
No, that's good.
We'll discuss this. I mean, we should probably involve Rachel in this, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we can bring her into discussion at some
point. But anyway, we rent a house. We get together. We get there Friday night.
Yeah.
We have a crazy night Friday night.
Just raucous good time?
If we get the same house that we've had the last couple years, there's a center island and we play flip cup there. We play, you good?
No, it's perfect.
Okay.
Or take up it or something.
We play flip cup. We play kings. We play everything. It's got a nice marble top to it. So we don't have to worry about.
I wasn't going to go if you didn't have my marble cup.
No. I meant like we don't have to worry about damaging wood or anything like that. So it works out really well.
I don't want you damaging my voice.
So we do all that.
Spoon set up.
Saturday morning, we get up. We a 3 o'clock game would be perfect because we get there real early. We have some breakfast. We start having beers. We do some manmosas, which is orange juice and whatever light beer you choose.
Okay. Yeah, I could get with that.
Also,
is that a lot of Yinglings around here?
No, because Yingling isn't really a light beer.
There is a Yingling light, though.
But that's not really a light beer. Not like a Coors Light.
That's true. No, you're right.
We'll do like a Coors Light or Miller Light, mixed with some OJ. It's called a Manmosa or a Scurvy Preventer.
Okay, all right.
So we'll do some of those. We'll have some breakfast. We'll pack up the rest of the tailgate. Then we'll head to the game. Cheer it on. Our buzz will start to wear off.
Oh, boy. I don't like the sound of that.
At that point, we're almost in the game.
Do they serve liquor in the stadium?
They do not. College stadiums, they do not.
Yeah, that's...
So we'll head back. Depending on how the game's going, it might be early, it might be later, a little bit later. We'll see how the game goes. Head back. We'll get to the tailgate. We'll set everything up. Then we'll have the dinner. Dinner is delicious. We go all out. We'll do like... maybe like fajitas or like some kind of a rich chili kind of option. We'll do something good.
I like fajitas.
We'll do something good. We'll do some fajitas. And then we'll have some more beers. We'll play some beer pong, some flip cup. All that will be up. Some cornhole.
Oh, yeah.
Do some cornhole. Cornhole's big. You have a thing to say about that?
No. I mean, I'd say something about that. But I like the idea of the Saturday game because it really kind of frees you up. Like, you don't – like, there's something about
– like, Sunday – okay, Sunday is a problem is what you're saying. Like, so Sunday,
you get all nuts for your fucking game on Sunday.
And then Monday, you hurt like a motherfucker. Like,
especially if it's a late game. Yeah. I'll say this, I'm lucky in the sense that no one else gives a shit about the Green Bay Packers. So, yeah, I drink by myself and watch the game, but I don't get that nuts. Yeah. So, like, even the next day, I don't feel that bad.
So,
but the Sunday game, the idea, you get all jammed up, everyone's getting crazy or whatever. And then Monday, you got no recovery time.
See, so what we'll do is Friday, we'll go. We'll get all jammed up Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night's the night to get jammed up. Saturday morning, you feel like shit. You sit in traffic for a while. You get to your tailgate spot. You park. You set up. You start drinking again. You start to feel better. You start to feel awesome. You go to the game. And then you go back. dinner, flip cup, beer pong, cornhole, all sorts of drinking, because you got to wait till the parking lot clears out. Then
it must be fucking bananas trying to get out of that parking lot.
If you do like an afternoon game, though, you still got time by that point. Once it clears out a little bit, you get a couple designated drivers. They drive back to the house you're staying at, go back. You still have a few hours to get a little nuts.
Get a little crazy there, yeah.
Then Saturday, then Sunday, you get up. You're feeling okay. You're still a little rough around the edges, but
you get the whole day to recoup.
Yeah, but you drive back. You drive back like 2 hours. That's not bad. You would have to get on a plane, but you know what? That's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not bad. You take a couple Ambien, you fall asleep. You wake up. You're in a different seat on the plane. Somebody's like, sir, you tried to open the emergency hatch. That's why you're handcuffed to the thing. It's an air marshal. I don't know why there's an air marshal at the Arnold Palmer, but you know what I mean?
I gotta get into that Arnold Palmer because it's right down the street from you. That's the balls right there.
If you ever move to Texas, that's the move. Direct flights.
Direct flights right to DFW?
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Well, we will do several long weekends a year.
Yeah, like, that sounds good.
You ever moved to Texas? Several long weekends a year. So hang on. So we've been recording for 25 minutes, and we have not touched upon why we're recording in person, live. I don't know if anybody can.
I didn't even mention the fact that we're in the same room. Like literally, our knees are almost touching.
Yeah. Do you want them to touch? We can make them touch.
Hold on. Here we go.
Oh, that's a good touch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hard right now.
When aren't you?
I'm hard a lot. I don't know. I've had a lot of fucking alcohol, so I don't know how hard I could really
get. So here's the beauty of this podcast episode. First of all, we're in the same room. We're inches away from each other. My parents have to be like 15 feet from us.
Yeah.
They're not technically in the same room, but we got connecting rooms in the hotel. It is my wedding weekend. I'm getting married. Actually, I'm getting married later today because it's after midnight.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't even know what time it is.
So that's happening.
Keith. I am so happy for you.
No.
There's not really a but.
Okay. All right.
No. So I am so happy for you because you're my friend. You're a great friend. And I love your fiance. Your soon to be wife in fucking 12 hours or whatever. And I was talking about this with one of our friends who's in another room right now. And it's eye-opening. It's weird for me because I've seen one or two of my friends get married, but maybe not one that I felt was like, I don't know. I would say as good of a friend. That's not true at all because Rob's gotten married, but I'd say maybe more of the same perspective on marriage and women and all that shit. One
as close in personal ideology as you?
Maybe that's it. And
because I will say I have discovered over the time that we are very close to the same person.
We are.
There's little differences that make it interesting, but we're pretty close to the same person.
It's true. And I was speaking with it was Andrew, and it was weird. We were kind of talking about how the whole weekend feels kind of like a microcosm of the whole bunch of us kind of growing up. And you're doing the bulk of it, obviously.
As usual, I shoulder everything.
You are shouldering the load because you're actually getting married, whereas commitment and me, commitment's kind of like my kryptonite. Like I will never say that I'm Superman, but if I ever was,
your kryptonite would be
kryptonite would come in the form of commitment.
I think I think that is the kryptonite of most men.
Yeah.
I think, because if you go back to basic ideologies of when we were primitive man.
Yeah.
The idea was, let's spread as much seed as we can. Yeah. As fast and as far as we can.
Yeah.
Like, we're just jerking it, shooting into the sky, hoping that it would just hit some random lady in her vagina.
Yeah. Lord knows I've done it. not jerking into the sky, but, you know, trying to get my seed out there, you know?
I just got a picture of you jerking out of just, a window.
Just...
Like, in a high-rise building. I know you don't live in a high-rise, no. But I'm talking, like, 20 floors up. You're just like, just, take that, Boston.
This just semen just spraying out of my dick. And, no, I mean, that's not entirely true. But
only partially. But anyway.
But I it's... I'm not going to say it's a wake-up call. I'm not going to say it's anything like that. But I feel through you, I feel a little bit, maybe a little bit more grown. And,
like you're in a new phase of your life where, like, this is going to start happening more, or, like...
I don't know, maybe...
Like, you're thinking about this is a legitimate option or something you should start thinking about?
Yes. Okay.
Like, you
that's what I'm talking
about. Like, from now on, when you meet a broad or a dame or a lady, whatever term you want to use.
Yeah, I like broad. No, I mean, maybe that's part of my problem.
Whenever you meet a lady or a woman.
Whenever you meet a woman.
That, like, you're thinking that should be in the back of your mind?
You know, maybe I feel like I should be paying a little bit more attention to the future, more so. You know, I that's something that I've ignored a lot.
Here's my thought on it.
Yeah.
If I may. If you think too much about the future, you're gonna fuck up the present.
Yeah.
So don't think too far ahead. Because here's the thing: no matter what woman you find, she's not gonna be perfect. They're all insane. There's gonna be little things where you're just like, oh, I just wish she would just fucking do this one little thing. And I'm not talking about like sexually. I mean like. Like for a while. Okay, so for a while it was for Rachel. It was that she wouldn't. Like in the morning when she would have coffee, she would literally put the coffee cup down next to the sink and not dump it out, even if there's like a little bit left or whatever, and she would just put it next to the sink and then leave for work. And now it's that she puts the coffee cup down because she switched to tea. So she puts the mug down and there's still tea in it and there's still the tea bag in it. So she puts that down next to the sink. And I'm at the point now where I'm just like, whatever, I'll just deal with this shit.
Can I just say?
What? That I sound like an old man?
No, I mean, you do sound like an old fucking man, yeah. Let me just say. I mean, I'm sure there's other things, and this is nothing against Rachel. I'm sure there's other things that drive you crazy.
Yes.
Because there always are.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure
the shit that drives her crazy about you.
Oh, I know there is. There are so many things, I'm sure.
But the fact... That's one of the things. I hope that someday I'm in a relationship where I'm like, fucking bitch, she doesn't fucking empty out the fucking tea and she leaves it by the cup. What the fuck? I hope that that is one of my major complaints.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, like, here's the thing. What I'm saying is that's a little thing. That's a little fucking thing. That's a small little thing. But at this point, I'm fine with it. Whatever. Like, I'll fucking deal with it. Like, I just know that that's going to be the thing and whatever. But if you start thinking about that shit, if you start thinking about the future and that and shit like that, early on in a relationship, it's not going to last. Because, like, in the second month, you're going to be like, this fucking bitch, she won't fucking, like, she stays over, I make her coffee, she loves it, she drinks most of it, but there's a little bit that she leaves in the cup. She puts it right next to the sink.
Yeah.
She puts it right next to the goddamn, if she put it in the sink, maybe that would be better, I don't know, but she leaves it right next to the sink, doesn't dump it out, doesn't do it. What the fuck? I've mentioned it to her, she doesn't tell me. I don't know. I think I have to break up with her. And that's the kind of shit that, like, if you start thinking too much about the future, that's the kind of shit where you're just like,
you get too
nitpicky if you think too much about the future.
And that's part of my problem is that I've been kind of like the, I've given in kind of like the Seinfeld-ish, like, point of view with women where it's like, it annoys me, you know, like, for example, in Seinfeld, like, the complaining that a girl eats her peas one at a time and it drives them crazy. Like,
was that in Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that
and,
one.
Or they talk to the food or, like, something stupid like that.
Manhandling.
Yeah, well, that's a legit.
Well, okay, point. That's a little bit more, but yeah.
But, no, and I mean, that's the kind of place I've been at where I'm just like, well, I mean, well, what the fuck? She eats her peas one at a time. Like, what am I going to sit here all fucking night watching her eating her fucking peas? And it's like, I need to kind of ground myself a little bit. And I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I'm changing my stripes necessarily.
I will say, though, I feel like you've possibly made more progress recently.
You talking about the last day or so?
Well, okay, I mean, I guess we can say that. No, I feel like, without getting into the whole thing, I feel like lately, like, you've talked about people and not been quite as nitpicky as I would have expected you to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Because normally you're like, normally we play a game and you're like, look at that guy in his fucking jacket. Look at that. What is that kind of jacket? And it's just the guy's jacket. Like, we.
Yeah.
But we make a whole judgment on that guy based on his jacket.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I do.
That game we still play. But in terms of actual, like, relationships with people, you're less like, well, she does this little thing.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, we all have to accept that we all have the weird, fucked up stuff that we all.
That's the thing. I point out the fact that these women have these little fucked up issues.
Yes.
Little, and but when I say little, I mean completely meaningless. Yet I obviously don't recognize the fact that I have same shit going on.
Yes.
But I think,
and if you think about it, all of your guy friends have that exact same, like, weird idiosyncrasy. Like, let's go through them real quick. Let's go through the ones we know. And some of the ones that they know. Chris definitely has them.
Yeah.
Andrew definitely has it.
Oh, yeah.
Dan definitely has it.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely have it.
Yeah, you do.
You definitely have it.
Yep.
Hawker definitely has it. Everybody definitely has that weird little thing.
Yeah.
But if you go looking for it and you're just like, all right, like, what's the fucking thing that's going to be the problem here, or what's going to be the turn off, or what's going to be that? It's going to fuck up the whole relationship. So
yeah,
just fucking have fun and enjoy it. But that's, I mean,
wow.
Look, okay.
I've done that too.
Well, yeah. But I mean, that's fine. And that's fine. And it may lead somewhere. It may not, but it's probably the better way to go.
I feel that maybe I don't know. I feel that you getting married and taking that step and basically growing as a person, a little bit of me gets taken along with you. Not all of me, because obviously, like I said, I am terrible when it comes to relationships and shit like that. But I feel like a little part of me does get kind of dragged along with you.
Hang on, I just want to back up a second. I don't feel like you're terrible at relationships.
I'm not good.
You're not the best.
Thank you. I know. Trust me, I know. I'm not very good. All right, maybe I'm not the worst.
If this really hard considering recent,
I know.
Okay, recent so developments. I don't want to get into all that now.
No, it's okay.
But I'm trying to figure out how to mention it for people listening in Norway, and then also us here. The thing is, okay, if you know that you're in a committed relationship, I think you are a stellar fucking guy. If you are in a situation where it is a more of a gray area, and it has never even been discussed about a definitive relationship status, you act just like any other guy would. And yep. I can't say that I wouldn't necessarily act the same way in the same situation. So you act just like any other guy in that situation. So I think it's that you maybe more that you put yourself in situations that are more ambiguous sometimes that cause trouble, or that you just for whatever reason just have bad luck finding the right girl.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, so, you know, it's I'm not, I, here's the thing, like a typical guy, right? I like to know what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
Guys, from what I know as a guy, and from what I understand from my guy friends, guys like to sit down. They like to look at their board like it's a fucking, like they're planning out an invasion of a country. And they like to know what they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see.
Guys are very strategic.
They are. They want to see the forces lined up again on the perimeter, and they want to know what they need to do in order to penetrate those forces, maybe.
That's all right.
We can say penetrate.
Let me check the sensor log. Yeah, okay.
We can say penetrate. And, no, but that's the kind of thing. It's that if I can sit down and I can look at a situation and say, this is what it is, and I know what I need to do, I'm okay. Because I can deal with a situation like that. If I sit down at my little board here and I look at the map of the world, you know, like I'm playing Risk or something, and I have no idea what I'm up against, I mean, I'm just gonna go with my gut.
So,
you know?
Well, yeah, no, and nobody can fault you for that.
Wow.
Maybe the female in the scenario can fault you for certain things, but I think over time it's going to be obvious that hopefully as this person matures, they'll realize that you made the best decision at the time, and maybe you were slightly flawed in some of those decisions also, but they can't really, it's not entirely fault. And it's not like you're bad at a relationship. You're just acting as a guy.
Let's get back on topic here. I
forgot what the topic was.
The topic is the fact that we're here.
For my wedding.
For your wedding.
Yes.
Not about me and my gallivanting.
Okay.
This is about you.
Me getting married. Me.
Now, I gotta say, Keith, you seem remarkably calm.
My, honestly, I am not concerned about spending my life with one person.
Mm-hmm.
We have known each other for 7 years at this point. So
it's basically a lifetime. In some circles.
I mean, to ancient peoples, it was pretty much like a lifetime.
That's
like
basically
you would get married at 13, die at 20. Like, right. 21 if you were.
Like, you'd get married
so,
at 13.
So,
even before 13, you'd be signing up for AARP at, like, 16.
Did the ancient Egyptians have AARP?
It was under a different name, actually. They consolidated and formed the new name.
It was EARP.
It was actually
Egyptian.
No, no, it was EARP. It was a Egyptian.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Egyptian
ERP.
Association.
It was ERP, not ARP.
ERP. Okay, yeah, ERP. Yeah. ERP. Obviously, the Jews building the pyramids were not able to join. It was for Egyptians only.
No.
I mean,
but they were keeping track of the finances, and they were killing it.
What did what did you get for joining ERP? Did you get anything?
I think that you got some discounts on your prescriptions.
Did you get a discount on your sarcophagus?
Your papyrus, you did, because you had to make out that will early.
Okay.
You
had to make it out when you were like 14 when you joined, right?
I think you made it out earlier than that, because a lot of people didn't make it past, you know, 14, 15. I mean, look at King Tut. How old was he?
I'm trying to think of the Steve Martin song. I think he was like 12.
He was
young. He was like 14 when he died, maybe. I think he was like, what was he, like 6 when he joined the clan? Joined the club, but like... I guess he became Pharaoh. Like, he was the club.
You know what was boggling my mind? That he wasn't in a pyramid? That he was just in kind of like a...
Well, he didn't live long enough for them to fucking build a pyramid. He was just like, hey, guys, I'm...
But he had the most gold. It's crazy.
Yeah, but like...
Well, you know, it's not even that.
There was no
grave robbers hadn't gotten to him yet.
Well, yeah, and they didn't know where to find him because he wasn't in a pyramid. He was in a normal thing.
Good point.
They were just like, well, fuck that. That's just a normal clump of sand.
Some jerk offs in there.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Probably just a chronic masturbator, probably like a guy that had to register with the rest of the village and say, like, look,
he had to go around to each hut and be like, hey, I'm sorry, I jerk off to child pornography.
No, he's just like, look, I jerk off to cats. Because cats are sacred in Egypt.
Oh, that's true.
He was like, look, I just love pussy. And they were like, okay. And he's like, no, not that pussy, like pussy cats. And they're like, oh my God.
You fucking sicko.
I love how my Egyptian was like really uppity. And they're just like, oh my God. Oh no, I couldn't stop. Standards is fucking masturbation.
Those cats.
Like how my uppity person also goes, there's fucking masturbation.
Fuck it.
It's fucking masturbation.
So anyways. Cats. ERP.
So ERP.
Is that how we got here?
No, we're just talking about getting older and me getting married.
Yeah, you get married.
So can I just say though, I have to credit this podcast partially in my roadmap to wedding. I don't know if I would have gotten here if it wasn't for the podcast partially.
Yeah.
As soon as we started it, I was like, I think I've talked about it before. I was just not in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
We started the podcast. I was in a better place. And then I, like, episode 3, 4, I think we talked about it. We went out and picked out rings. Episode 6 or 7, I was popping the question.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I would say it was around there.
So I think without this show, for whatever reason, because it gave me, at the time, it gave me a purpose, it gave me a goal, it gave me something to do, it gave me a way to talk to you, and connect me with people that I hadn't talked to in quite some time.
Yeah.
It really helped. So I think it's fitting that we do it the night before.
I think so too. Because I think that as much as the podcast is us talking bullshit, it's a lot of us getting shit off our chests.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also us working shit out.
It is. I can't even tell you how many times I have had a terrible, terrible day, terrible week, terrible fucking month, whatever it is. And I go home and I say, fuck it. I don't even want to do the podcast. I don't want to record. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to talk to anyone.
But you don't see me. You just talk to me. You just hear my sexy voice.
That's true. That's true. I do just hear your sexy voice.
I sing a little Lou Rawls to you before, and we cut that part out, but I go, see you when you get there.
Unmistakably Lou.
Oh.
It's the best.
I don't know if Lou Rawls is playing tomorrow. I should figure that out. I should try.
Oh, you gotta have Lou Rawls at the wedding, dude.
I'm gonna talk to him and see if I can drop something.
God damn. Yes. Bring the fucking wine. Anyways.
I don't have the Vaughn with me. I didn't bring it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You stay at the hotel.
I'm staying at the hotel because it's easier. What is happening? Is there a fight in the hallway? Are our friends fighting in the hallway?
I hope so.
Oh, my God. They're going to get kicked out.
Great.
Oh, I know that voice.
I know that laugh.
I know the laugh. I'm going to
put that. But what I wanted to say was, it's... Podcast to me is...
Well, what is going on? Is he on the phone? Or is he... Can we go ahead and grab the phone?
Just stop.
Okay, hang on. We're just gonna... Do you want to just pause it? We took a break. We were talking about... Okay, so in the hallway, the voices that we were hearing were nothing. But we were talking about just growing up. Parties growing up to. Damn, that little that
right,
sound right. Just threw us completely off.
That's right. Just replay the last minute or so.
I don't know if we can. I don't know how we can without. I guess we can do it in two parts then. If I save this part.
You don't think we can play it and then record from where we stopped?
I don't know how to do that.
It's all right.
But you were saying that I was... okay, here. Let's do that. Let's stop it. We're good now.
Yeah.
All right, so you were saying...
I was just saying that... You know, there's so many times I just... I don't want anything to do with anyone. And I know you felt this way before, too. But the podcast is such a good release.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good way to just get... Even if the thing... even if what's bothering me is not what we talk about. It might have...
And even if it's not anything that's recorded, which has happened a few times.
Yeah, that's true, too.
We talk about shit... Get some off our chest for 15 minutes, and then we record the show. And then we talk about some stupid criminal or something else that's ridiculous or whatever.
Mm.
It makes us, it makes things better. Also, because at the end of it, we go, hey, by the way, we created this while we were doing shit.
Right. No, and it's, exactly, I don't know. It's something that I think has stood the test of time as far as almost 2 years now.
Yep.
Because I think we've both kind of come to realize that it's not even necessarily the product that gets put out, but it's
the process of it.
It's the process of doing it. And it's not only, you know what? To be honest, doing it is not even always fun. Sometimes, I don't mean that in a shitty way.
No, I know what you mean. Sometimes you're just like, I don't know what we're going to do. No. I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Right.
That kind of thing. And just like, I got nothing. Like,
sometimes I don't know what we're going to talk about. And sometimes I go into it and I'm like, it's not even the podcast itself. It's just, I sit there and I say, I don't want to talk to anyone. I just don't even want to do this. I want to just fucking play Grand Theft Auto, or I just want to fucking J.O. and go to sleep, or whatever it is.
But, and then you get into it.
But I get into it, and it...
And I think it's... Yeah. I think it's partially that at the end, with very little editing, we'll have to edit that little middle part a little bit, where we had the disturbance in the hall that turned out to be absolutely nothing. It was like by the end we have this product and we're just like, hey, we came up with this, or we came up with this character, or we came up with this person, like, that did this ridiculous thing, or we took it, like, it's just a thing that at the end we can say we made this, and it's a thing that we did, and it gives value, even though it's a digital thing and it doesn't, it exists, but it doesn't exist.
There's no physical medium to it.
But it still exists, and it's a thing where we can say, hey, we made this, in the same way that, like, almost in the same way that somebody can be like, hey, I painted this, hey, I drew this. Different medium, but we can still say that we made this, but it gives us more of something than just being like, hey, I got to level 45 on GTA Online.
Yeah.
Like, it puts things also a little bit in perspective, where you're just like, hey, that's kind of meaningless. So I should, instead of doing that, I should probably spend the time and work on the podcast, or find this, like, do more research on this article, or figure out, like, this other funny thing, or this bit, or whatever. So I think
despite the fact that it's not a physical thing that you have, it's still a tangible result. And I think that you and I are both of the mindset that we want a tangible result to our effort.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always get that. And when we don't, I think it kind of pisses us off a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that we both like to see.
Mm-hmm. And that gives us and our lives more value, basically. Like, that gives a little bit something and adds a little bit something. And then that little extra something that it gives us helps us have the ability to go into other parts of our lives and build on that. At least that's the way it was for me. And now, like, you know, basically 2 years later from when we started this, I'm getting married, basically, because of this, with help from doing this show. So,
yeah.
No, I guess my point is, thank you to you, and thank you to the people that listened and gave it value. Because we started off and it had no value, and then it grew, and I just enjoyed doing it. But then over time, it added value, and I was just like, you know what? This is something I enjoy doing. I seem to be good at it, and people seem to like it, so I'm going to continue doing it. But that helped add value to other things I do and give more confidence and helped in a lot of areas. And now we're at this point where I'm signing my life away.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about it.
No.
Is the thing. And you know what?
I know you're not. I can see it in you, because
I am worried about, here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about getting through the ceremony and through the reception with as few conflicts between people and between guests, and as few conflicts and drama and bullshit as possible.
Yeah.
Things are primed for there to be those things, and I want to do my best to avoid that. I am totally willing to take the brute force of that too, in order to avoid anybody else from having to take that. But if needed, I may call upon you to stand in front of those.
So I gotta be Luca Brasi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can. I won't pull out a gun or anything, but.
No, but yeah, I do expect you to be. I expect you to be sitting there with ill-fitted socks.
Yeah.
Just practicing your toast.
You know, I can do that. I've played that part before.
No, but I. That's my only concern, is that there are a few, like, I know things will go wrong and things will go as planned, and there will be issues. But I want there to be as few of those as possible, and that's my main concern. Other than that, I'm not worried about the rest of my life. I'm not worried about hanging out with Rachel for the rest of my life. That's not all considering my... And the thing that's also been really nice in this is... My family has been super helpful in all of this.
Yeah.
So shout out to my family. Especially, you know what? Mom, if you made it through the rest of this episode and you made it to this point, thank you for listening. And thank you for helping with all wedding stuff.
Colleen, you're the best.
She is the best.
I just met Colleen in person today.
Oh, that's right. You did.
I had never met Colleen before today.
She thought you would drop the F-bomb every other word.
She really did. And I don't blame her.
Oh, no. If she listens to only this show, and that's the only impression that she has of you, that's fairly accurate.
Yeah.
Now, if you were one-on-one with Colleen, you would drop the F-bomb a lot more. But we were in family company. You weren't sure who's who. There were kids around. You behaved yourself very well. Kudos to you, sir. I'm going to give a little plastic cup toast to you.
Yeah, I mean, I am admittedly pretty vulgar person, but I think, as we're saying, you grow up and you know when the right time and the wrong time is. I can turn it off and turn it on very well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you are very good at it. You can handle that very well. Speaking of meeting my family, though, how awesome is my nephew?
Oh, he's great.
He schooled us on Clash of Clans and opened up our eyes to a whole other way of thinking about it.
He rearranged my village, and then he just imparted all his wisdom on me for the future of my village. I didn't even view that I was going to do it like that. It just blew my mind. He opened a whole new world to me.
Was it like me and you saw your new village and you were just like, that makes so much more sense?
It did.
You were just like, I get it now.
I don't even know. I'm going to go out there and say he's a genius.
He's really good at shit like that. Like, he's really good like that. And the thing is, it's amazing, and I think he's a good example of how, because he's grown up his entire life with video games logic is literally a part of his logic. Like, he doesn't think, like, oh, it's just the way that I think because it's a video game.
Yeah.
Like, we do. Like, we're like, oh, it must be a puzzle because it's a video game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have to move this pillar. He's like, no, you move the pillar because that's how things work.
Right.
That's how it is.
So you have two jewels and there's a statue in front of you. Wouldn't you put those two jewels in the eyes of the statue and then all of a sudden it would go down into the floor?
It would open up a secret passage?
Isn't that the way it would work? Now I sit there and I look at it and I say, well, video game logic would tell me I gotta put the fucking jewels in the eyes of that fucking statue. But he looks at it and he says, that's the way it is.
That's how it is.
That is what it is. And he fucking school me on that fucking
that clash play. Yeah, he was just like, and he just he offered it nonchalantly. He was just like, I can look, I can like he was doing you a favor.
He knew
he was doing you a favor, and he was just like, look, I see what you're doing.
Yeah,
I see the setup that you have going on. I'll help you out here. No charge this time. I'll set up your village in a better way.
It was like,
and you were just like, I saw you think about it. I saw it all happen. You were just like, you know what? I trust this kid. Yeah, go for it. And then he handed it back to you, and you were like, I never thought about it that way. It was like the part in the first Star Trek movie, or the first of the reboot of the Star Trek movie, where Leonard Nimoy, Spock Prime, reprograms the transporter on that one ship with Scotty.
Mm.
And he's like, this is your algorithm for transport beaming. And he goes, I never thought of space as the thing that was moving. That was your face.
Yeah.
When he handed you back your village, you were like, I never thought of putting my town hall on the outside.
I had no idea. It was like, yeah, it was a new way of thinking. That's what it was. It was a new way of
viewing
the game.
And, like, yes, as people pointed out afterwards, there is a downside to that. But his thinking is pretty, his thinking is solid for a way, like, a way of judging it. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, a hell more of a strategy than I ever thought.
What I love is I got my phone back and I was looking at my village. There were things being built that I had not built. There were new walls. There was all this stuff, and I was just like, "What? No, wait. Where's my? Oh, I see what he. Okay, yeah. No, I'm good with that. Yeah, that's good. That makes more sense.
I mean,
he's like, it's like when the Beatles met that guy in India, and they were just like, we get it now. Right? That happened. That's a thing. Right? Did I make that up? They met a guy in India, right? The Maharishi or something?
I don't know, but they ended up getting pissed at him. Remember, because he was, like, sleeping with the chicks? And John Lennon flipped out on him. The Maharishi, I don't know, something like that. But.
Alright, so.
So, yeah, it was the Maharishi. And, he was trying to fuck all the wives, or he fucked all their wives. I don't know what it was.
Wait, did he fuck the one that, the amputee?
The amputee. Oh no, that was way later.
Okay. Was that before or after he did the Live and Let Die?
Oh, it was before, because Live and Let Die, that was Wings.
I've been drinking, and I just watched Live and Let Die like 2 days ago. So
well, I mean, my, you know,
and I've been thinking that's an awesome song.
It is a great song.
That's another episode.
My Beatles knowledge is quite
extensive.
Yes.
Why did you just make it seem like the extensive Beatles knowledge
came out of my? It was like my intestines coming out.
That's a medical condition that you should get checked out.
That's not a good thing.
I had a great closeout, because I know we're getting close to it, and I can't remember what the fuck it was. I don't remember. God damn it. I imagine we've been going for like an hour, so we should probably just cut this. Just
close out.
Yeah.
There's plenty in that.
I don't know, but thank you for listening on this, the day of my fucking wedding.
Yeah.
I'm Keith Budela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
Remember, everyone, no regrets, and
you may not get married every day, but we all, nah.
I think I may just put that one in there. You may not get married every day, but nah. You're just like, no. I'm good with the marriage. It's good. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I like that. I like that. That was good. That was good.
All right.
All right. Let's just leave. You know what? Let's just leave that.